Isn't this the it's the ER. Welcome to Grace Anatomy. And today I want to talk to you about the lungs. And we ought to get, can everybody do me a favor? Will everybody in here, will you just take the deepest breath? Will you, on the count of three, let's just take a deep breath. One, two, three. Now let's take one of those through the nose. Let's really get a cleansing breath. One, two, three. Oh, whew. Anybody getting lightheaded yet? Wow, did that feel good? I tell you, our lungs are amazing. Isn't oxygen? Well, thank God for oxygen, because I don't know what we'd do without it. What would you do without oxygen? I remember swimming one time, and a bunch of my friends were drunk, and we were in California swimming in a lake just north of San Francisco. I was about 14, and they were just wasted, and they decided it would be neat to drown me. And a bunch of these guys were holding me under, thinking it was hilarious being one of the younger ones in the gang. And then at some point, just before I thought I was dead, I couldn't get up. And they'd pull me up to catch a breath, and then back down they put me. That's a fun time. Those are great friends. Have you ever been in a place where you just needed that breath? Boy, have you been in a place where you breathed in horrible air? Those of you that live in Croswell, my apologies to you during sugar beet season. You know what I'm talking about? My car, I lived up there for 4 years. My car, we had a red Buick Skylark, but not during sugar beet time. It was black because that soot, that stuff just from that furnace burning. Those of you in Croswell know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in the sidewalks. It's nasty. You breathe that in. But then you get someplace, and I'm going to invite you, and I just talked to a good friend of mine. We're bringing him in March for a men's weekend. We are going to rock men of our community into the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to do a men's weekend, kind of aka Promise Keepers. It's time for men to be men and to not be emasculated in church. Did I say that out loud? I did. I think churches emasculate men. Everything's pink anymore. NFL's pink, for goodness sake. I have nothing against helping out with cancer awareness, breast cancer awareness. But good grief, do we really need to dress our NFL guys up in pink? That's just my personal preference. I'm going to get in some trouble, I know. It's time that men have permission to be men. So I'm bringing a friend of mine. His name is Wes Walton. He's a Cheyenne Indian. And he's the number one pistol shooter on the back of a horse in the nation. He goes to cowboy churches, and he shares Jesus. And the last time I was out there, he put on we're sitting around a bonfire. We're going to go there next summer, by the way, so get your bags packed. I talked to him yesterday. We got the camp booked. We're excited about going to a dude ranch. And on the last night, we have a bonfire. We sit under stars in a canopy that you feel like you can touch a billion stars there in the Wyoming mountains in the Rockies. And the last time I was there, he did something we've never done before. He came out in his Cheyenne, it's called the Wolf Pack. It's the special forces of the Cheyenne Nation. They'd be their Navy SEALs. And we're sitting there, I'm thinking, I wonder where Wes is. He's always at our bonfire testimony last night with the guitar. He comes out and I hear this, hey, 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 and he comes out and he's full garb. And I'm going, what is this? And then he comes up and tells us the story of his people and how as a warrior for God, he was responsible as a Cheyenne, as a wolf pack, to be a man in the tribe to protect his nation. And he tells the story how we as men need to protect the nation of God and stand up in our homes, men. I'm excited. We're bringing him in. When we go out there in July, what's really neat is we get to climb Laramie Peak, and it's 5 miles of hiking in the Rocky Mountains. And when you get up about halfway, by the time you hit about 2.5 miles, and you're going up to 10,400 feet elevation, can I tell you, when you're getting up there, it's fun because you see students and adults that are about halfway up, and they start getting elevation altitude sickness. The air's so thin that you might as well plug one nose, they said, stick a straw up your other nose, and try to breathe. It's that thin at that altitude. And you're hiking this thing. And about every 50 feet, you're going, you're trying to catch your breath. You get to the top. Can I tell you, it's the purest air you'll ever breathe in your life at 10,000 feet. And not only is it the purest air, but you stand up there and you look in a panoramic view. There is nothing. It's above the tree line. And there's nothing in every single direction. And they say you can see 5 states. And as I remember standing there several times in my life going, and just breathing in that Rocky Mountain air, thinking, I'm standing and breathing the air of God so close to heaven I can almost touch him. Can I tell you, that's the way the church ought to experience their relationship with God. You ought to be in such an encounter with God that when you come to church, it shouldn't be polluted in your lungs. You ought to go, oh God, this is the best air, oxygen in my life. But you know what? There are people who aren't getting that kind of air, that kind of life in church. There are churches, places are dying. People are suffocating. Have you ever been there where you just thought, I just can't breathe anymore? Maybe you feel crushed by the weight of a death. Maybe you're crushed by a relationship. Maybe you're crushed by, who knows, finances. And you're just like, God, if something doesn't change, I'm going to suffocate. This morning, I want you to know that God is the God of the hospital and not the museum. That God has oxygen for you. That God wants to perform mouth to mouth in your lungs. That God wants to take his mouth and place it over your mouth and breathe into you life. Are you ready for that this morning? Is there anyone in this morning that would just say, God, I want you to go ahead and do CPR on me? That's what the scripture talks about. And I want to talk about CPR, just if I can just share this with you in just a couple of minutes. CPR. In Philippians chapter 4, if you'll look in your Bibles, you can underline right there. It says very clearly in verse 8. Look at this. Finally. Have you ever been to that place that's like, God, please answer this prayer? And then you go, oh, finally. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent of praiseworthy, think of such things. So CPR, here's your C. Let me give this to you. If you want God to do something amazing in your life, here's the C. And it's called this, conscious, be conscious of life. We need to know that in our life, when we breathe in, there's life happening in us whether we know it or not. I don't know if you know, there's pollution in the air. You know, I live in Port Huron. I've never seen cancer so much in my life. As a pastor, I pray for a lot of people to get healed of cancer. I don't know if it's because we live near Chemical Valley, or it's in the water, or if it's in the air. Have you noticed that? We got some strange air in the Port Huron area. I love a breeze off the lake because it's almost like cleaner air. But do you know that life is constantly being pumped into us, or death is being pumped into us? Now watch this, church. Life is being pumped into you, or death is being pumped into you. You are speaking life, or you are speaking death. The words that you use are life, and the words that you use are... He says, I want you to think about this, that you're constantly being filled by the things around you, whether you know it or not. Do you know that without even thinking about it, people are speaking into your life? Do you know that while you're sleeping, people can be speaking into your life? It's constantly happening. I remember when I was younger, I was watching the Brady Bunch one time on the couch. I was in high school, and I'm watching the Brady Bunch. You remember Greg and Peter and Bobby and Marcia and Jan and Cindy, and, you know, it's a story of a lovely lady, right? I'm sleeping on the couch. The Brady Bunch is playing, and I'm dreaming I'm one of the Brady Boys. And I'm going, and we're in the backyard, and we're doing stuff, and Marcia's arguing with me. And in my dream, I'm like, I'm a Brady. It was a nightmare. I was just like, wake up. I can't believe this. I woke up, and I'm on the couch, and whatever was happening on the TV, that's what I was dreaming. I was in that episode as Greg Brady. Yeah, that was scary. Throw that into the haunted house. Just put the Brady Bunch. I was like, I do not want to wear polyester. I don't want plaid pants. I don't want to say, groovy, Marcia. I don't want to do any of that stuff. Do you know, while I was sleeping, my environment was speaking into my soul, consciously or subconsciously. And I want you to know, when you're speaking out, you are speaking life and oxygen into people, or you're speaking death and pollution into people. And I think the church ought to be a place where we speak life. We need to speak life. People all the time ask me, am I welcome at church? I go, what are you talking about? Well, I just want you to know, I'm gay. And am I welcome at church? They said, of course you're welcome at church. Why wouldn't you be welcome at church? Well, because, you know, gay people aren't welcome to church. Well, when did God quit loving gay people? Some of you right now are going, what? Someone will say, hey, I just committed adultery. Am I still welcome at church? Or my family just fell apart, or I drink too much, or I smoke. I'm like, are liars welcome to church? Are thieves welcome to church? Are gossips welcome to church? Yeah? Well, then you're welcome to church. Just don't practice that. What are you talking about? Well, just quit practicing it. You could say, well, I'm a liar and I struggle with that. I'm an alcoholic and I struggle with that. Well, quit practicing that. But God loves you. The minute you think that God doesn't love you is the minute we start just weeding out the church. I said, welcome to a place for sinners. This is a place for healing. This is a place for change. This is a place for God to speak life into my dead body. You see, my heart is dead. That's why I'm broken. I'm broken. I do things wrong. Good grief, if you're not welcome to church, your pastor's not welcome to church, because guess what? Sometimes I sin. Shocker. Yeah, get some oxygen on that one. Your pastor sins? Yeah, welcome to the real world. If a pastor stands up in a church and tells you somehow sinners aren't welcome, then you're going to have to fire him for lying if he's not a sinner. Because I don't know who lives in this world that's not broken at some point. And so I want you to know, you need to be conscious of this. I'm going to either speak life into you or I'm going to speak death. And I want you to know the oxygen that ought to come out of a church ought to be pure oxygen. And pure oxygen says this, brother, I love you and I want you to know that you're an awesome person. I have those words. I can share that with you and say good things. Look at what it says in Proverbs. The scripture says in Proverbs that in our tongue, it has the power of life and the power of death. You know what's really cool about this? Jacob, you're an awesome young man. And it was so good being at homecoming. I'm sitting up there and I'm rooting you on. I see you on the sidelines. And I'm thinking to myself, that guy ought to be starting. And you were thinking the same thing. But I want you to know something. God has a plan for you and you're an encouragement. Man, I saw you on the sidelines and you're over there and you're just like, yeah, come on. And you were just screaming, losing your voice. And I thought, you know what? He could have spoke words of death like, come on, coach, I'm better than these guys. And you know what? He is better because he spoke words of life. He's like, you know what? Sideline or field, I'm speaking this stuff because you know what? I'm part of a team. And I think that's awesome. And you're one of my heroes. And that's why kids follow you. And you're a great mentor in our youth program because you have a humble spirit to do whatever God has you doing. And I think you're a great young man. And I really believe that with all my heart. You're awesome. He is. You need to get to know this young man. You ought to take him out to lunch today. If he doesn't have a lunch point, you ought to take him out to lunch today and even slip him a Hondo or something for some gas money. A Hondo, that's a $100 bill. So I know somebody ought to bless him today. You guys are awesome. You know what? Zach, you took time off of work of ministering to people in the hospital that you love so much to clean people's bedpans and hear them complain. And you sacrificed being away from your wonderful wife and your beautiful little newborn and your little boy. And that you guys, I say newborn, he's newborn. Anything under 25 is newborn to me. And the fact that you went to Guatemala and you built houses with us, and you ministered to people, and you were awesome, and just the idea of what God did. You know, you're an incredible young man, and your wife allowed you to go and do that, and she's a wonderful woman. What a great couple that people ought to just say, hey, that's the kind of marriage I want in my life. You guys are awesome people. You really are. I love you guys. I've known you since you guys were back, well, when you were living with us for 6 months. Because what an incredible thing. You're a son to me. You're awesome. You know what I can do? I can speak life. I can do this all day long. And you guys know this. And you're going, didn't he do this before? I can do this all day. It's free. I can do this. I can speak life and pure oxygen of God into your life all day long. And it doesn't cost me a penny. And I will never run out. We ought to be conscious that we get to do CPR on people. And we're either going to breathe. Every day we're doing CPR. We're breathing life into people or we're breathing death into people. And I hate those people that speak death. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. You're no good. You know how many times I heard that in my life? I was on my way to prison. I was doing drugs. I was doing all that stuff. And you know what? I had someone come and speak life into me. And one breath from God will change a dead man and bring him to life. One breath of God can change your life. That's the P. See, we got the C. You need to be conscious of this. Here's the P. There's the power of hope. Some of you right now don't have any hope in your life. There are people I see every day that don't have hope in their life. I don't know. They say, well, I hope it works out. I hope my marriage works out. I hope my children will do better. I hope my finances change. I hope. Can I tell you something? One breath of God can bring hope in your life to change everything. I hope so. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, do you know what God did? God, in Genesis 2, 7, took a dead man, a pile of mud, a guy with no life in him, and the Lord formed man out of the dirt of the ground, and he breathed into him one breath from God, and he became a living being. That's all you guys need in your life, don't you, is a breath of God. Somebody, Thursday night, I'll tell you more about this, but Thursday night I did a road trip. Somebody dropped some Red Wing tickets into my lap, blessed me, and at the last minute I'm like, okay, I got to find people to go. And one of the guys who went with me told me this story. He says, do you know that scientists found out something about this life, about hope? I said, what did they find out? Scientists did a study about hope. They took rats and they drowned them. I said, they did what? Oh, yeah, they took rats, lab rats, and they put them in a bucket of water and drowned them. I said, that sounds horrible. He goes, well, follow the story here. Forget about the animal cruelty. They drown rats. They want to know how long a rat could last in a bucket of water. Do you know how long the average rat can live treading water in a bucket? It's 2 hours. Full-blown science experiment. He sent me all the documentation. And I said, 2 hours. So for 2 hours, there are scientists sitting there watching these rats do this and let them die. He goes, yeah, 2 hours. But then they did something interesting. They took a whole other set of rats. They put them in the buckets, and they drowned them. And at 2 hours, knowing that's about how long they could last, they would rescue the rat, take it out, clean it up, dry it off, and feed it. And then let it rest. And then they put it back in the bucket to find out how long it would last a second time. Do you know how long that lasted? I said, 5 minutes? He said, no, 72 hours. That rat went from 2 hours to 72 hours. I said, what was the difference? And here's what the scientist said. The rats in the second experiment had been rescued and saved once. So somehow we believe that the rats then held out 72 hours, not 2 hours, but 36 times longer because they knew that they had been rescued. So they're fighting harder and longer knowing salvation is probably coming again. So wherever you're at in your life, if you've ever been rescued or had the breath of God, you've had hope in your life. And once you have hope, it'll help you to fight harder and stronger and longer in your life because you know that God can do it again. Isn't that awesome? We need to be breathing that life into people. We need to breathe life into people. You gave up. Hey, listen, but you knew God saved you once. He can save you again. God never gives up. No wonder why he said to Peter, when Peter said, God, how many times can I be forgiven or forgive my brother? And he said, 70 times 7, because once you've been saved, you keep coming back to the Savior. Oh, that is so good. Thank you, Pastor. That's awesome. That spoke into my life because I'm in a place right now that I've been saved. I've fallen apart, but I know that Jesus can save me again. So I want you to speak into your mountains today, folks. And I want to finish with this. I want to close the service this way. Let me close up with this. And the sea is... You need to know that consciously that there's life in your tongue. P, there's the power of hope. Hope can change everything. And then the last one is this. In verse 5 of Philippians 4, the Bible says this. It says, do not be anxious. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Can you read these four words with me? Can we say this out loud, these last four words? The Lord is, can we say that again? The Lord is, folks, that's the game changer in our lives. That's why church should be a life giver. And I'll bet as you read that, many of you don't get what you just read. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. And here's the P. Or I'm sorry, here's the R. It's the realization that God is with me. You know why I have hope in this world? You know why the church ought to be a hospital and ought to give hope to people? Because I realize that God is with me. Thursday night, we did a road trip. Had these wing tickets, and we went down there, and we were able to use three of the four. And during the game, I thought, I'm going to go for a walk around the thing. I've only been in that Joe Louis three times in my life. Been a long, long time. I'm not a huge hockey guy. I mean, I love hockey. Moving to Michigan, I couldn't have told you a rule, even though I'm a sports fanatic. But you kind of have to learn hockey when you live in Michigan. I love the Red Wings. I'm walking around, and I see this huge statue. If you've ever been in there, it's a gigantic bronze statue. I mean, it's got to be 6-8 feet wide by 6-8 feet wide, about that tall. And there's this hockey player on it, all in bronze, in a 3D action bronze casting. It's awesome. And on the back side, it's engraved. Records. Assist record still holding with this many assists on this year, this year, this year, this year, this year. Records for gold. Records for this. This whole thing was just loaded with... I thought, this is the greatest hockey player that's ever lived. And I started to make my way around the front. Now, let me back you up a year ago. A year ago, a friend of mine that goes here, that does a lot of the videotaping for the alumni, he says, hey, Pastor, I got this thing I'm doing for the Red Wings and Mitch Albom and the Ernie Harwell story. Would you go with me just to hang out with me? We're going to go backstage. We're going to hang out with Mitch Albom and all these guys on the Ernie Harwell story. And there's going to be some Red Wing guys there. And there were. And some of the current players, you know, like Draper and some others. And I know who Chris Draper is. And he was there and I shook his hand. I'm kind of standing there killing time, waiting for the next hour, and then they're going to do the whole play. And as I'm sitting there, this guy who was signing autographs, probably 80 years old, I didn't know who he was. He comes over, and we're talking. He says, I said, I'm Mitch, yeah, and I'm here with Scott, and I'm just hanging out. It's nice to meet you. And he shook my hand. I said, good grief. He about broke my hand. I said, do you work out? And he kind of smiled, and he goes, yeah, a little bit. I said, how old are you? He says, I'm 80 years old. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I'm not, but you kick my butt. I said, so what's your name again? He says, well, my name's Ted. I said, oh, okay. I got nothing. He said, Ted Lindsay. I said, I got nothing. I'm standing Thursday night now. So this is a year ago, and I'm talking to this guy. We're just hanging out. We're just sitting there chatting, taking a couple pictures, and just shooting the breeze. I don't know who he is. I see this statue at the Joe, and I go around the other side, you know, five Stanley Cups or whatever it is, one of the greatest players that ever played the game and put skates on. I turn around and it goes, this is Ted Lindsay's statue. I'm going, oh, you got to be kidding me. So Thursday night I'm going, that's who I was talking to last year? I didn't even know it. He's like, yeah, I'm Ted Lundstrom, Lindsay. I'm like, got nothing. I was sitting hanging out with one of the greatest guys who's ever laced up skates in the game of hockey, and I had no idea. That's like sitting there, you know, out golfing one time, and I'm out there golfing, and there's a guy. Now, could you imagine, oh, what's your name? Oh, Michael. I played a little basketball. Now I'm playing baseball with the Birmingham Barons, and I was living down there. And you're who? Michael what? Jackson? Jordan? I'm sorry, got nothing. I played for the Chicago Bulls, 6 national championships. Nope, got nothing. Could you imagine? What's your name? Walter Payton? Running back? Football? Got nothing. Sometimes we don't even know who we're with when we're with them and how great they are. Hey, church, what's your name? Jesus? Got nothing. I'm the Son of God. I'm sorry. I was there at the beginning of creation. Stars rolled out of my lips. I'm the Son of God. Sorry. Jesus who? I was on a cross, conquered death. Buried, rose from, it was in all the papers. They wrote a book about it. Got nothing. How many Christians, how many of us in this room today walk around like we have no hope and Jesus is with us? Folks, I got to tell you something. I can't give you any better news to know this, that you will never, ever be without the presence of Jesus Christ as a Christian. He is with us. And when you look at him and say, who are you? Don't say, I got nothing. You ought to look and say, Son of God, Rose of Sharon, fairest of 10,000, conquered the grave, the great and mighty morning star. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the soon and coming conquering warrior. He is my Savior. He's my best friend, and he will never leave me or forsake me. That's Jesus. So this morning, I want to breathe life in. And guess what? Jesus wants to breathe life into us every day. CPR. Let him put his mouth over your lungs and breathe life into you. And you say, I can't get to the life. You can get to the life. I can't get to the life. You can get to the life. You don't understand the garbage in my life. Yes, I do. You don't understand. I understand the garbage in your life because I think I live on the same planet. I know what's happening in our world. I know that not everything is perfect in your world, but everything can be perfect in your lungs. Have you taken Jesus and just let him breathe into you today? Go ahead and do that, and then go into the world and be the CPR that the world needs to hear. Let's stand together. Let's pray.